Fox Sports Radio.
Coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Holy cow, this is a thing. The Jason Martin Show, debut edition. My thanks to Scott Shapiro and Don Martin and all the people at Fox Sports Radio. My thanks to Clay Travis for all of the help that he gave me over the past couple of years, and everybody else that has given me their eyes or ears, whether or not you've read what I've written, pop culture-wise, sports-wise, you've seen me on social media, you've listened to me where I am at, headquartered out of Nashville, out of Music City, here in Tennessee, wherever it is. I appreciate it. I don't take it for granted. We're going to have fun. What I say every time I take the airwaves, two different things. One, our mission, I will not waste your time. Second, I am blessed beyond measure. All measure, and I hope you recognize that you are as well. Now, let's get down to business. First of all, that was an incredible first hour that we just had. It's daylight savings time, so my first hour just vaporized right into thin air. It was maybe the best radio I've ever done. Now, I'm going to start this. This Antonio Brown story is absolutely amazing because I talk about God blessing me so much, and he blessed me with this story 2 hours before my debut starts. The biggest possible story you could have in the NFL right now is Antonio Brown landing with the Raiders. But I'm going to take this from a perspective I'm not sure you're expecting. From NFL.com, this is from Chris Wesseling, who's really good at his job. He writes, Martavis Bryant is finally getting his wish for a change of scenery. The Steelers have traded Bryant to the Raiders for the number 79 pick in the 2018 NFL Draft. That was announced this past Thursday night. A frustrated Bryant requested a trade last October after falling behind Juju Smith-Schuster in the wide receiver rotation. The former Clemson star fell down the depth chart due to a drug-related suspension that wiped out his entire 2016 season. At 6'4", with the speed and playmaking ability to take the lid off of a defense, Bryant is a throwback to former owner Al Davis's infamous fetish for dangerous deep threats. Derek Carr will be throwing to an overhauled receiving core this season, with Bryant and former Packers Pro Bowler Jordy Nelson joining top target Amari Cooper and tight end Jared Cook. Bryant's unique combination of size, speed, and freakish athleticism once prompted Ben Roethlisberger to suggest it was time for the enigmatic wideout to, quote, become the best in the world, unquote. Prior to the suspension, NBC analyst Chris Collinsworth anointed Bryant, quote, as talented as anybody playing in football right now, unquote. Although Bryant got off to a slow start last season, he was playing his best ball at the end of the year. For the price of a third-round pick, he's well worth a flyer in John Gruden's new offense. That's from last year. The reason that I read that to you is because Martavis Bryant, who had all sorts of issues, went to the Raiders for a third-round pick last year. And Antonio Brown, a first-ballot, no-doubt Hall of Famer, 834 receptions, 11,207 yards, 74 touchdowns, 6 consecutive 100-yard seasons, went to the Oakland Raiders last night, even though it won't become official until the new league year this coming week, for a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick. And he left the Pittsburgh Steelers with $21 million in dead cap money and nothing else. That, ladies and gentlemen, is utterly incredible. Behaving badly pays off for Antonio Brown. Jason LaCanfora had reported at some point yesterday that Antonio Brown's camp was looking for $18 to $20 million a season, which led many people to think, well, he's going back to Pittsburgh. I saw a lot of people that know plenty about the NFL suggest that. LaCanfora said, good luck with that. Okay, Raiders, 3 years worth $50.125 million with incentives to go to $54.125 million. He had no guaranteed money. Now he's got $30.125 million. That's per Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. So he takes the Steelers' four-year extension at $17 million per year into what is now amounting, this according to Adam Schefter, to $19.8 million per year in new money. So that, quote, good luck with that, unquote, worked out for Antonio Brown. 2 years ago, Pittsburgh gives this guy a deal worth $17 million a year. This new deal takes it, turns it to $19.8 million. He took the remaining $38 million plus over the next 3 years and turned it into 50, plus $4 million more in incentives to take him to 54. I can't quite believe it, because all of the things that Antonio Brown had done, the antics and the Mr. Big Chest, and all of the comments that he had been making about how if he didn't need football, he wanted football, but he didn't need football. He had bought his cash. He bought his house in all cash. Kind of a Randy Moss, straight cash, homie kind of moment. Everything seemed to have toxicified the waters for Antonio Brown to the fact where he was lessening his own trade value. And that's exactly what happened. But when Pittsburgh tried to move him to Buffalo, he said he wouldn't report. Folks, we have entered a completely new era as it relates to the leverage that athletes have. We have kind of always operated under the system, and franchises have always operated under the system, that there are certain rules of engagement that they are going to follow. There are just traditions that are going to happen, which is if we trade somebody, he's going to go there. And we've seen since that point that all athletes really have to do is say, I'm not going to X team, and why would they then leverage everything if the guy is willing to give up the money and stay at home? We saw Le'Veon Bell kind of force the issue last year, and the Steelers got caught there. They get caught even worse here, get completely fleeced in this deal. Whether or not you think Antonio Brown is a team killer or not, and I'm sort of torn on it because I read those stats to you. I know how good Antonio Brown is. Even now, at 30 years old, he's still the best route runner in football. Watch some of his video just of how hard he practices. Dude doesn't take time off, well, except for a Week 17 game when he had already checked out on the Pittsburgh Steelers right after Ben Roethlisberger had kind of thrown him under the bus a few weeks before, and it became an untenable situation. All of these things are playing out in the favor of the athlete. We saw Anthony Davis in New Orleans say, I won't go here, I won't go here, I won't re-sign here. All of a sudden, the options limit. The best thing could happen to the Buffalo Bills, probably, is not getting Antonio Brown, because I can't even imagine what would have happened if Josh Allen had been the quarterback for AB84. That would have gotten ugly real quick. This may get ugly too. Derek Carr's all excited about it. There's people tweeting out videos of them at the Pro Bowl, all happy. Well, let's keep one thing in mind here. The Oakland Raiders did not have to give up any of those first-round picks. They gave up a third and a fifth. That means, and I saw Robert Mays of the Ringers point this out a little while ago, and others have as well, now, if John Gruden wants to, he can go throw the farm to get Kyler Murray, which we know he likes Kyler Murray, and then try to pay off this Antonio Brown thing. Because the Derek Carr experiment, I don't know how you feel about him. I know that I really liked him right up until he got hurt. And once he got hurt, since that point, I have not seen the same player. He and Gruden, that doesn't seem to be a marriage either. So Kyler Murray, maybe going to Arizona, but now who knows? Maybe he can go to Oakland. It doesn't matter. We'll talk about Charlie Casserly later on and what a bonehead he is at this stage. But the Raiders, they don't pay Khalil Mack. They say they don't have the money at the time. They let him go. And then they bring in a guy that some people are going to say, look, this guy is a locker room cancer waiting to happen. The only thing that I can suggest is last year their number one receiver, Jordy Nelson, didn't even have 800 yards. And all you heard from Jordy Nelson over the past few months is him defending Aaron Rodgers against guys like Greg Jennings and former teammates that said Aaron Rodgers was kind of hard to deal with. Jordy Nelson was really the only guy. The Raiders got rid of Amari Cooper. And what they got out of Amari Cooper was another first-round pick. So they got rid of Amari for a first-rounder, and then they got Antonio Brown, better than Amari Cooper by any measurable level except age, and they gave up a third round and a fifth round. That seemed to work out for them. Now, I'm not saying the Raiders know exactly what they were doing or had this plan from the beginning, but sometimes you fall into a great storyline in life, folks. It can happen in anything. It can happen in a TV show where you didn't realize that a relationship that happens halfway through the show turns out to be the most important thing on that show. It can happen in a movie. Secondary plot line you didn't even see coming when you were starting to write that script manifests itself and becomes as important as everything else that's going on. It happens everywhere. So the secondary storyline works out for the Raiders, at least in the short term, because on paper, Antonio Brown is still easily one of the best players in the league. How do I know that? Because Vegas usually doesn't care about anything other than quarterbacks, nor should they. A guy like J.J. Watt goes out and the Texans' odds drop like half a point per game. Vegas dropped, and according to Caesars Palace, Oakland went from 75-1 to 50-1 for the Super Bowl immediately following the news. Personally, I think this is insane because I still don't know if you've got a quarterback in Oakland. But you've definitely got a weapon, finally. You've got a number one guy. You've got a guy that I don't know if he's going to be out to prove people wrong or if he's just going to cash in and be an absolute disaster. And I would love your thoughts on that at 877-996-6369. That is 877-99 on Fox. Antonio Brown to the Raiders. If you're on the West Coast and you've been in a nightclub and not on social media and you're leaving that nightclub, it's seems like it is a done deal. He tweeted it out. I don't know how he photoshopped himself in a Raiders jersey, but that's a thing that happened. Even though Ian Rappaport was wrong about the Bills deal, I don't think Antonio Brown is tweeting out false information about the Antonio Brown deal. I feel like he is a source that we can trust on this issue. When we come back, we'll take your calls at 877-99 on Fox. Raider fans, I want to hear from you. Are you excited about this, or do you not like what this could do from a chemistry perspective? Steelers fans, I want to hear from you as well, and we will hear from the crew. Iowa Sam, Ryan Bershinger, Ralph Irvin, I want to bring them into this discussion. This news dropping right before midnight in my time zone is the biggest blessing that I could have gotten for the debut of this show. This is the Jason Martin Show. That makes me Jason Martin. Last time I checked, I am on Twitter at JMartZone. We will be right back here on Fox Sports Radio. Welcome back, Jason Martin Show, live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. I'm Jason Martin. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. Are the Raiders the underdogs? I don't know now. They've got Antonio Brown. They went from 75-1 to 50-1, according to Caesars Palace, which I think is kind of nuts. Derek Carr's excited. I'm not sure how long he's going to be excited. A lot of you are excited, getting some tweets at JMartZone. That AB deal, a steal, right? One of the best player maker in the NFL for a third and a fifth. I mean, here's the thing. Yeah, it is definitely a steal, provided that you don't think that he's going to kill the locker room or the chemistry, or he's going to check out, or he's going to bury whoever's throwing him the football because it's not where it needs to be, or that. If you think that these antics were just designed to make sure he got himself out of Pittsburgh and got the new money that he wanted, and now he's going to go back to being Antonio Brown, mild-mannered citizen superhero, then yeah. Of course it is. A third and a fifth for AB is a first ballot Hall of Famer. 9 years in the league. I read the stats. I'll read them again. 834 receptions, 11,207 yards, 74 touchdowns, six consecutive 100-yard seasons. You want more? Last season, he had eight touchdowns of 20 or more yards. That's the most in the NFL. The Oakland Raiders had four. Brown had twice as many as the entire Raiders team. Antonio Brown had just one drop in 170 targets. The Raiders had 22. That was ninth most in the league. Antonio Brown has been one of the most sure-handed receivers in the league since day one. He also, last year, 11.2 yards per target on average. The Raiders, 6.87. That's second lowest in the NFL. He changes everything for them, provided he doesn't ruin things in the process. Another tweet. Gruden ain't going to throw one of those late first-rounders for Josh Rosen, though. Maybe he could. He said a lot about Kyler Murray. I don't know what he thinks about Josh Rosen. I still think Josh Rosen might end up in Washington, but we'll see. And then he talks about the same tweeter sends perfect face for Oakland before the move to Las Vegas. Al Davis would have loved him. Vegas is a part of this. Antonio Brown's the kind of guy, especially now that he's become such a larger-than-life diva-style personality, he can sell some tickets for you in Las Vegas, especially if he's happy, especially if the Raiders are winning. And he is a guy that helps you win football games. Again, you just have to wonder, was the Antonio Brown that we have heard from over the past handful of months, the one that became increasingly difficult to tolerate, at least from my perspective trying to watch him, listening to him say it's going to be my way or I'll just go away, saying it's not about the money, to someone that tweeted and said, are you sure this isn't just about you getting new money? It isn't about the Steelers. It's about getting to a new team to get a new contract. And he said, no, it's for love of the game. Then he said, I don't need the game. And then he demanded 18 to 20 mil per season and got 19.8 from the Raiders. Whatever it is he said, it didn't matter because it absolutely works. We've got a couple of phone calls, then I want to bring in the crew. Well, let's go to Jose. He's out in Fremont tonight. I think he might be a Raiders fan. I'm pretty sure I remember Jose from my Outkick days. Jose, what's up, my friend?
Hey, congrats, brother. Check this out real quick. I ain't a Raider fan, brother. It's a lifestyle,
sorry.
Baby. It's a lifestyle, baby boy. Check this out, man. Look, we haven't had a receiver like this. I mean, we had Coop. Don't get me wrong, but the dude dropped. He wasn't happy here from day one. I called that. My son gets upset with me because I was saying it from day one. The dude didn't want to be here. And look, he goes to Dallas, and he's all happy. Now he's catching stuff. So check this out. Antonio Brown, I like it. I think the dude's going to – I think he's got a chip on his shoulder to prove that it wasn't about the money, even though it really was. I mean, I know it's about the money. Come on, let's keep it real. And I think, you know, Mayock said he's going to surround Carr with weapons. I think they're going to go forward. I definitely do not want to go with Kyler Murray at all. And yeah, and I definitely want to man, I'm juiced, bro. I'm telling you right now, I'm so juiced, man. And Clay needs to quit hating. His Titans aren't as great as he thinks they are. They're in the weak division. Andrew Luck is back. Watch out, Clay.
Man, I don't disagree with that, Jose. Appreciate it. Appreciate you chiming in. I don't want to get into the AFC South too much. I don't know that it's that weak a division now, but I still don't know that the Titans are near the top of it. So the Raiders is a lifestyle. Amari Cooper, not a fan from the beginning, meaning Amari just didn't seem to fit there, didn't like it. It's interesting. The Antonio Brown thing is going to be fascinating to watch. And I've got one other thing that I feel just obligated to mention here. And that is that there are five teams that the NFL can force to appear on Hard Knocks in 2019. The Detroit Lions, the New York Giants, the San Francisco 49ers, the Washington Redskins, and let's go through those four. Detroit, okay, Matt Patricia, maybe he's telling people that they've got to sit up straight and their posture's off, but it's the Lions. I don't know how exciting that is. The Giants, if Odell is still there, who knows? They've been making all sorts of baddie moves. The 49ers, I'm not even sure if Jimmy G was with the porn star on screen, it would be that exciting. The Redskins, I would rather them take a camera and follow Dan Snyder around the streets of Washington than I would actually pay attention to what's happening with the Redskins football team. I left the fifth team off the list. Here it comes, the Oakland Raiders. Please. If you don't select the Raiders for Hard Knocks, what exactly are we doing here, NFL? You got Gruden, you've got Mayock, you've got whatever is in the psyche of Derek Carr right now, and you've got Mr. Big Chess. You know what that is? That is gold for HBO. Outside of Game of Thrones, there won't be better drama anywhere on TV than Hard Knocks with the Oakland Raiders with at AB84 front and center with Chucky and Mike Mayock. That is such beauty. You cannot blow that. The NFL must do. They should announce this tomorrow. Just steal whatever thunder is out there. People paying attention to college basketball, whatever. They're paying attention to the NFL. They're always paying attention to the NFL. Just come out and say, Hard Knocks 2019, HBO. Throw it out there. They always do this. When you get to the end of a season on HBO, if you watch HBO, you know what I'm talking about. Last episode of True Detective, there'll be that long, like, 3-minute Game of Thrones trailer to get you psyched. Or there'll be that, here's what's coming up in the next half of the year from HBO montage, which is always really well put together and gets you super excited. At the end of Game of Thrones, when we get to that series finale, instead of showing me what's coming up next on The Deuce or whatever it might be, just show me a picture of Mr. Big Chess standing next to Chucky and Mike Mayock and just put the words Hard Knocks Oakland Raiders on there. And folks, winter is coming. Let's go out to Berkeley. Ray is in Berkeley, California tonight. Ray, what say you?
I cannot believe I was out when this, oh man, I cannot believe this happened. I didn't think honestly we would go out. I'm a Raider fan. I cannot believe that this happened. I didn't think that we would actually go after Antonio Brown when I thought we were going to go after Le'Veon Bell, you know, I thought he would provide a lot of utility. And I mean, the contract's just crazy expensive to put on one player. I mean, when we got rid of Mac and then we didn't re-sign Cooper, that seemed like that's where we were going to go. That seemed like that's where we're headed. But I do know, I've heard before that wide receiver, I think, has, you know, there's those advanced stats or advanced metrics where I think it's outside of a quarterback, wide receiver provides the highest wins above replacement, above even higher than edge rushers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that seemed like it was something. But, I mean, if we think back to what we were working with last season, I mean, we were starting we drafted a guy in the seventh round, Marcel Aitman, and we were starting him at some point in the season. I think from, like, week 11 on, he started about six games. So the squad that we're coming from, our receiving core, I mean, it's been drastically upgraded with Antonio Brown. I don't know what's going to happen with Jared Cook. There's just so many questions now. I'm assuming the Gruden must not have thought that we were going to get DK Metcalf in the draft. I know he just kind of blew up the combine, running that 4.33 and just blew it up. It's insane. I cannot believe what had happened. Phone was blown up. It was just nuts.
Yeah, no. I agree. It's not what I was expecting to hear on a Saturday night. We appreciate that phone call, Ray. Here's the only question you have to ask yourself about Antonio Brown. And before you get excited as a Raiders fan or before you try to analyze this, just think about the fact that Antonio Brown at no point in his career has played for a losing football team. He has never had a losing record in the entire time that he has played in the NFL. He is now, I think, accurately described and illustrated as a malcontent that wanted to get out of Pittsburgh. And Larry Fitzgerald came out and said he doesn't know how good he's had it with Ben Roethlisberger, a Hall of Fame quarterback, throwing him the football. I mentioned those kind of metric stats about how long his targets are. He had 8 20-plus yard touchdowns. Well, Roethlisberger had something to do with that. I'm not the biggest Ben Roethlisberger fan, but I recognize the guy's skill on the field, to be sure. If Antonio Brown is playing for a Raiders team that's 5-11, how is he going to react? Is he going to just be a stud and still be on a 5-win team, or is he going to make that much of a difference? That's the question, because we've seen Antonio Brown upset about somebody else being the number one target, meaning Juju Smith-Schuster this past year seemed to kind of supplant him in some respects. We've seen him upset about money. We've seen all of the things that we've seen over the past few months. We have not seen him losing on the field consistently. How is he going to respond to that? He does seem to care about winning games. But now it seems like he cares more about the contract and more about the money than he might winning football games. So it's going to be really fascinating to watch which Antonio Brown the Oakland Raiders got. Did they get this all-pro receiver, all-world guy that's going to work his butt off? Or are they going to? And I think you're going to get that either way. But if the Raiders struggle out of the gate and they don't have a quarterback that can consistently get him the ball where he wants it, how long before this thing becomes a problem for the media in terms of him going on social media and blasting? If it's Derek Carr, it's Derek Carr. If it's Kyler Murray, whatever. How long is Antonio Brown just going to sit around and lose? Because he has always seemingly cared a lot about what's happening on the field. That's something that we need to address. And that's something we're all going to be watching. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. I want to bring in the crew, but first, let's head out to Los Angeles. Let's bring in Ralph Urban and get the latest. Ralph.
Well, thank you very much, Jason. And we do start with the fact that Antonio Brown is going to the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders sending a third and fifth round pick in this year's draft to Pittsburgh. Brown is getting a new deal. 3 years, it's worth up to $54 million. 30.125 of that is guaranteed. Those contract details still being reported by Ian Rappaport, not confirmed, of course, as of yet. And yes, the Vegas odds at Caesars did change from 75-1 to 50-1. for the Raiders this year. Meanwhile, on in the NBA hardwood, Boston got their third straight win on the road in a West Coast road trip. They beat the Lakers 120-107. Kyrie Irving goes 12-18, has 30 points in the win for the Lakers. It's their fifth straight loss. Milwaukee gets 26 points, 13 rebounds out of Giannis. They beat Charlotte 131-114. Brooklyn gets their third straight win, beating Atlanta 114-112. And Portland solidifying their spot in the fifth position in the Western Conference. They take care of Phoenix 127-120. Online car shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. On the college hardwood, number 2 Virginia, a 73-68 win over Louisville. Number 3 North Carolina takes out number 4 Duke once again, 79-70. Auburn shocks number 5 Tennessee, 84-80. Number 6 Kentucky gets by Florida, 66-57. And number 9 Michigan State, a 75-63 upset of number 7 Michigan. Now let's send it back to Jason Martin in Nashville.
Thank you, Ralph. Welcome back to the Fox Sports Radio studios, brought to you by Geico. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. I'm Jason Martin. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. You can interact with me there. You can call us 877-996-6369, 877-99-ON-FOX. I want to bring in the boys, bring in the crew, Ryan Bershinger, Iowa Sam, and Ralph Irvin, who you just heard from. Gentlemen, I did not expect to walk in here and have this story to talk about. I have some other things that I wanted to get to, but then here comes Mr. Big Chest deciding he's going to be an Oakland Raider as it strikes midnight here in my time zone. And of course, you guys are working right through it as well. Kind of an amazing story to hit right there at the end of Saturday night, huh?
Yeah, dude. I think what really amazes me the most out of this deal is the fact that the Raiders literally have 3 first-round picks, and they didn't have to give up any of them. And also looking at the Eagles, we're pretty tight in this from what I understand as well. The Eagles had 2 second-rounders. And out of all this, just a third and a fifth, that's nothing. That's insane. So, hey, I this is a crazy good deal for the Raiders, and They got a first rounder for Amari Cooper and then didn't have to move that pick for Antonio Brown. That's insane to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. The fact that they were able to get rid of a receiver that's not as good and get a better draft pick back and then give away 2 much inferior picks to get the better player is staggering on a number of levels. And I think that that information coming out that he wanted $18 to $20 million per season backed off a lot of suitors. And if he's going to demand that kind of money, the Raiders are like, okay, well, we'll take him, but we're not giving you first-round picks if we've got to pay that kind of money. I think that destroyed the Steelers' leverage even further. AB submarine Pittsburgh like 7 times with torpedoes on the way out the door. This was absolutely incredible. The other two that I have not heard from yet, Iowa Sam and Ralph Irvin, your thoughts on this just crazy deal that popped up here in the 11th hour on Saturday night?
I think all the people that have been out there having their fun, taking shots at John Gruden and Mike Mayock, need to shut their mouth. Plain
You're
and
a
simple.
Raider fan, right?
No, I'm not. Not at all. But the fact of the matter is that these guys went and executed a deal that no one thought was possible. And they're taking a situation where, look, you can compare John Gruden and Mike Tomlin all you want. I'm going to take Gruden because I know that he has control of a team. I've worked covering a team in person that John Gruden was in charge of as he took him to a Super Bowl, and the years later when the talent disappeared, he can control a team. It's going to work out better than it did with Mike Tomlin in the leadership position in Pittsburgh.
All right, Ralph. Staunch opinion there. Iowa Sam, I think you're the only one that we have not heard from yet.
Yeah.
What do you think about AB to Oakland?
Well, I was just going to say, Ralph bringing the fire tonight. He was
he is.
He was lighting up the kiln there on Straight Out of Vegas as well. It's exciting because there's a lot of different interesting, unique personalities on this team now. Obviously, the head coach with Gruden. You got AB. I think that they need to hold on to Derek Carr because he's sort of an anchor. You know, he's kind of one of those, he's a down-to-earth kind of personality. And so I think they need to hold on to him. I think, you know, he's obviously had his injury issues, but when he's healthy, he's a very good quarterback. And I think he'd be the best fit for them just to immediately increase their win total, holding on to Derek Carr. So it's exciting. It's, it kind of reminds me of like where Terrell Owens would end up, you know, in sort of his career, just floating from team to team. But this is a definitely unique team with a lot of different interesting personalities, so to speak. And it'll be fun to watch the Raiders. And then when they go to Vegas, hopefully everyone can stay out of trouble and start winning some games down there.
I recognize L.A. and Oakland are not the same, and I recognize that a wide receiver and a star NBA player aren't entirely the same, but LeBron goes to the Lakers, Antonio Brown is an Oakland Raider. And I know that a lot of L.A. sports fans, including several that work at Fox Sports Radio, have long time been Oakland Raiders fans and Lakers fans. So you've got yet another star headed out to Hollywood or in that area out there in California. Antonio Brown, $17 million four-year extension from the Steelers, now $19.8 million per year in new money from the Raiders. The Raiders don't pay Khalil Mack. They let him go. They trade Amari Cooper and get a first-round pick for him from Dallas. They've got three first-rounders in this draft. If they draft well, or perhaps they package the picks and go after a Kyler Murray and try to get him if they believe he's the guy. I've said this a number of times, and it's this. If you don't have the quarterback that you like, you just need to keep on drafting. Now, that doesn't mean that if you have a Phillip Rivers and you wish you had a Drew Brees, then you need to do something about that. That's not the case. But if you don't believe in your quarterback, then you go get whatever it is that you think you need. Because if you don't have a quarterback, you've got nothing in this league. I don't care how great Antonio Brown is. I still want to know, and we're about to find out, how much did Antonio Brown help make Ben Roethlisberger in these last 9 years, and how much did Ben Roethlisberger help make Antonio Brown? We're going to get an answer because Derek Carr is not Ben Roethlisberger. If Kyler Murray comes in, I don't know that he's Ben Roethlisberger. I'm pretty sure he's not, as a matter of fact. But the argument against Cliff Kingsbury, for example, and the Josh Rosen situation. If Cliff Kingsbury believes Kyler Murray is the one to run that air raid offense, even if he was brought in to tutor Josh Rosen and they just took that guy in the first round and moved up, as a matter of fact, gave up assets to go get Josh Rosen, if they don't think that he is the guy and they don't think Kingsbury and Rosen are going to be a good match, then you do what you can, you cut your losses, you send them to Washington, you send them somewhere else, and you draft Kyler Murray. If you don't have the quarterback that you want, you've got nothing. If you don't have the quarterback that you want, you're not going to win. If you don't have the quarterback that fits the system that you have, you're not going to win. I've always said that about Marcus Mariota and some of the guys that were deemed more mobile quarterbacks or running quarterbacks. Don't bring that guy in and say, okay, we're not going to run him. We're going to put him in the back, and we're going to have him out of the pocket the entire game. We don't want him to run because we don't want him to get hurt. That's what that dude did in college. So why would you draft him and then change everything that made him successful? And in some cases, got that guy a Heisman Trophy. Whatever it is that he does, if it fits your system, what you saw him do, then you draft him. And if the Oakland Raiders believe that Kyler Murray is the guy and they've got three first-round picks, I don't care what you have to give up to go get a quarterback that you think could lead your franchise for 10 years when you just spent that kind of money on Antonio Brown to bring in the best route runner in football. I still believe the best tandem route runners in football are in Minnesota with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, but the best single route runner in football, without question, is Antonio Brown. And that's something they absolutely have not had in Oakland for quite some time. Again, Jordy Nelson was their leading receiver last year. He did not have 800 yards receiving. Antonio Brown's stats, I will go over them again before the end of this show. They are incredible, incredible numbers. 877-996-6369. 877-99 on Fox. Raider fans, are you celebrating? Steelers fans, are you celebrating? Your team did get fleeced one way or the other, but were you ready to see this guy go with everything that had happened? We will continue to talk about this just blockbuster story that broke just a couple of hours ago. Antonio Brown is an Oakland Raider. That is a real thing. Another real thing, the Jason Martin Show. The debut edition continues next here on Fox Sports Radio. Live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, Jason Martin Show, nationwide, Fox Sports Radio, anywhere in the world, foxsportsradio.com. I'm Jason Martin. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. I'm based out of Nashville, Tennessee. Ryan Bershinger, Iowa Sam, Ralph Irvin, the trifecta spinning the dials radio style for me out in Los Angeles. Our telephone number is 877-99-ON-FOX. If you want to plug that into your phone, it's 877-996-6369. Well, my hero from the Foo Fighters coming back, and I'm wondering if Raiders fans are now seeing Mike Mayock and John Gruden as their hero as they have landed Antonio Brown. That's right, on the West Coast. If you're up late, maybe you're leaving a restaurant or a club or something, and you have not heard this, but Antonio Brown is going to be an Oakland Raider for a third and a fifth round pick. If you're a Raiders fan, you're like, wait a second, don't we have four picks in the top 35 in this draft? You do. And guess what? You still do. Because Antonio Brown was able to tank his trade value enough, and then between him and Drew Rosenhaus telling Jason LaCanfora and others that they were demanding $18 to $20 million per season, a whole lot of teams backed off. Raiders are going to pay him $19.8 million with incentives per season. He got exactly what he wanted by behaving not just badly, but putridly. But somehow it worked. 877-99 on Fox. Let's go to Hector in Ontario, California tonight. Hector, how are you?
Hey, Jason, I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
Good, man.
Awesome, awesome. Jason, man, I got to say, I'm a big Raider fan, and I am stoked, man. This is a classic Chucky, bringing in, you know, veteran talent, but I think we're getting Brown in his prime. He kind of was a bit angry and malcontent towards the end there in Pittsburgh. But I think he's going to come in, work his butt off, and Derek Carr is going to be our guy, man. I think if we could protect him, keep him upright, and put a few more pieces, hopefully bring Cook back, I think the offense can, get back to, 2016 form, and, we can really do some damage. Aside from those pieces, I think we're going to just make sure we need to keep Derek Carr on his feet, protect him, and have a good defense. You know, that's going to be
the big thing. You think they're going to be a playoff team, Hector?
You know, I think, honestly, if the trenches, if we can protect Derek Carr, I think the offense will be fine. The defense, though, that's the biggest question mark to me as a Raider fan. We just got gutted last year. We've been getting gutted for the last few years, and just the defense, we haven't put it together. It doesn't matter how many points you score. If you can't outscore the other team, you're going to lose every time, you know?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate you, Hector. Thanks for the call. Yeah, the one problem for the Raiders you have to look at is they happen to have the Chiefs and the Chargers in their division. Now, I'm a Denver Broncos fan, but I'm also a realist. So I know we're in their division, but not right now. You've got some great receiving talent in that division. I think Keenan Allen is one of the most underrated players in the entire NFL. They've got a couple of guys. Mike Williams really coming around out of Clemson now that he's healthy out there. Phillip Rivers just had one of the better seasons of his career. It kind of tailed off at the end. Very good. And we know what the Chiefs have got with Tyreek Hill and that crew, Travis Kelce. And now you bring in Antonio Brown into the same division. That's nasty. That is a nasty, nasty division when it comes to wide receivers. But it's also a stacked division, and not all those teams can make the playoffs. And they're going to beat each other half to death during the regular season. All of a sudden, the AFC West could become very interesting, especially with the draft picks. Now, we'll see if they keep them, or if they're not going to wager on Derek Carr, they're going to try and package those picks to try and go out. And look, I even saw speculation that with those three picks, maybe they go try to get Le'Veon. Like, they do whatever they can. I don't know that they're going to be able to do that. I think he's going to end up with the Eagles. But you see all sorts of things. There seems to be hope in Raider land. Let's go to Mike in Modesto real quick before we have to get to the end of the hour. Mike, my good friend from the Outkick days as well. Mike, what's up?
Jason, I didn't know guys in their 30s was their prime anymore. You know, I started out laughing when I heard that. Now, Brown is obviously still at the top of his game, but let's face it. Teams don't pay receivers like this normally because receivers don't win Super Bowls. Pass rushers like Mac get paid because pass rushers help win Super Bowls. Top-rated corners get paid because they help win Super Bowls. And most of all, quarterbacks get paid. Ben Roethlisberger was the key. Bell was the key. It's called eight-man fronts, single coverage. That's why he was so successful as one of the best route runners, speed guys in the NFL. Now, let's see how he does without Big Ben, the future Hall of Famer. By the way, anybody out there remember a guy named Randy Moss? Does that ring a bell? You know, remember when he dogged it in L.A., but what happened when he got to New England? What was the factor in New England? Oh, yeah, a Hall of Famer like Tom Brady.
No, you're right.
Quarterback.
You're right,
make
Mike.
Receivers.
No, you're right. Look, you could be right. That's the argument. We're going to find out for sure when it comes down to Antonio Brown. We appreciate Mike, who is still probably yelling into the phone right now. We like the enthusiasm here on the Jason Martin Show. And we will continue to talk about this. If you don't know, Antonio Brown's going to be a Raider. Did Ben make Antonio Brown? We're going to find out, because Antonio Brown no longer has a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's got a guy that we're not too sure about. But Raiders fans seem hopeful today. Antonio Brown is coming to town for a third and a fifth round pick? Are you kidding me? We'll be right back. Hour number 2/3 of the Jason Martin Show, debut night here on Fox Sports Radio. I'm Jason Martin. At least I think I am. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. Our telephone number is 877-996-6369. That's 877-99-ON-FOX. I'm blessed beyond measure. I hope you recognize that you are as well. I will not waste your time. I want to thank Antonio Brown for deciding that this was going to happen 2 hours before my first show. If you are just chiming in, maybe you're on your way to work. I'm not sure exactly what's up with you, but Antonio Brown's an Oakland Raider, and that has derailed everything else that I had planned to kind of hit on today. And a reminder, we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, brought to you by Geico, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. So AB, Mr. Big Chest, headed to play football for Chucky, maybe with Derek Carr. We'll see. The Raiders have 4 picks in the top 35, 3 of them in the first round. One of those first rounders, courtesy of the Dallas Cowboys, when they unloaded Amari Cooper. That's kind of, look, you can look at Khalil Mack and you can talk about that. I think you should have paid Khalil Mack, personally. I thought that was a bad move all the way around. Amari Cooper paid off for Dallas. As soon as he got there, he seemed like, okay, he's going to help Dak Prescott. I'm not sure how good Dak Prescott is. I think he's kind of an average quarterback. I don't think he's bad. I think he's got more competitiveness and more win in him than he does just pure raw talent. But we'll see how that goes long term. But if you just look at those two by themselves, the two receivers, the one they got tonight and the one that they let go, they send Amari Cooper to Dallas and get a first rounder. They ship a third and fifth rounder, and they get Antonio Brown. Amari Cooper was a hell of a player at Alabama. He was all right in Oakland, and he's pretty good in Dallas. Antonio Brown is a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best wide receivers maybe to ever play the game. Now, we're going to find out how great he is when he doesn't have a Hall of Fame quarterback throwing him the football. But the stats are undeniable. 834 receptions, 11,207 yards, 74 times he has crossed into the end zone, caught a ball for a touchdown, 6 consecutive 100-yard seasons. And then just the nuance of last year, he had 8 touchdowns of 20 or more yards. That's the most in the NFL. The Oakland Raiders as a team only had 4. Antonio Brown had just 1 recorded drop in 170 targets. He was 11.2 yards per average for his targets. The Raiders, 6.87, second lowest in the league, behind only the Lions at a 6.85. The numbers are undeniable. The route running is undeniable. The precision is undeniable. The hands are undeniable. Is the personality undeniable? Is what we've seen for the past handful of months indicative of who Antonio Brown is going to be going forward? Or was all this part of the act to make sure he got himself out of Pittsburgh and found a way to new money? It's amazing to me that he got this done. I saw Rich Eisen tweet this out. He said, the way he got himself out of Pittsburgh and got $19.8 million a season from a new suitor might be more impressive than his Hall of Fame on-field resume. And I am inclined to agree, folks. It is utterly incredible. He is getting 3 years worth $50.125 million incentives of $4 million more. There was no guaranteed money in Pittsburgh. Now there's $30.125. He had a four-year extension from the Steelers at $17 million per. Now it's $19.8 million per year in new money. Vegas cared. Caesars Palace, Oakland was 75-1 about 12 hours ago. As soon as the Antonio Brown information dropped, and it dropped, by the way, from Antonio Brown, not Ian Rappaport, so this is not going down the same road as the Bills. I trust Antonio Brown for Antonio Brown information. It went from 75-1 to 50-1 for the Super Bowl for the Oakland Raiders. It's unreal. The Raiders had all those draft picks, didn't have to get rid of any of them. I think a large part of that is because of that $18 to $20 million that backed off everybody, whether it was Washington, whether or not it was the Tennessee Titans, who of course were kicking the tires, and Buffalo, who had been shut down because Antonio Brown realized what athletes in 2019 have figured out. And that is, we actually have more power than we think, because the owners and the franchises have always just kind of believed that when they move players, the players are just going to agree to do whatever they're told to do. And we've seen Anthony Davis, and we've seen some other guys just kind of say, look, I'm not going to report if you trade me there. So basically, you have a lot more control over where it is that you're going to end up going. He didn't want to go play for Josh Allen. I don't blame him for that. I also want to go ahead and congratulate Josh Allen on not getting Antonio Brown, because I'm pretty sure that Josh Allen would be on Zoloft about 5 minutes after Antonio Brown suited up in his first Bills game, went 20 yards downfield, and Josh Allen threw it about 76. The thing about Josh Allen is he can throw it out of the stadium, but he can't throw it 4 yards accurately dead in front of him. That would have been an utter disaster if he had gone to Buffalo. So he goes to Oakland. Derek Carr showed flashes, then he got hurt, and we don't know. Now you have the draft capital with these first-round picks, do you, if you are Mike Mayock and John Gruden. If Gruden really has the googly eyes for Kyler Murray, you can try to make a move to get up there. Maybe Arizona doesn't want him bad enough not to take first-round picks off your hands. I don't know. There's a lot of things that are now out there that weren't out there before this deal got done. When the $18 to $20 million per report came out from La Canfora and others late on Saturday, there were NFL veterans and there were insiders that were saying, okay, well, he's going back to Pittsburgh because nobody's going to pay him that. Well, nobody is wearing an Oakland Raiders polo and a visor, because they did pay him. This was the first big move Mike Mayock has made since becoming the GM of the Oakland Raiders. And it's by far the biggest story in the NFL. It is by far the biggest story in sports. And it dropped at like 11:45 Central Time, 2 hours before my debut here on Fox Sports Radio. And I do really want to thank Mr. Big Chest for looking out. Good looking out, brother. Seriously. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. I told you Vegas went from 75-1 to 50-1 in Super Bowl odds. Let's bring in the crew who we talked to in the first hour. Ryan Burchinger, Iowa Sam, Ralph Irvin. What does this mean for the Raiders in terms of win-loss totals? What does one player mean when there were so many holes on that team last year? You've got a lot in the draft, so you can make some moves. Four picks in the top 35. Mayock knows the draft pretty well. We'll see what he does. Maybe they move. Do you like Derek Carr? Do you go get Kyler Murray and package some of these picks? Where do you think the Raiders are in the hierarchy of the AFC or even in the AFC West with the addition of Antonio Brown?
I think they could. They're probably like a 500 team right now. But I think that those four picks in the top 35 are super interesting. I personally would build around Derek Carr. I like Derek Carr a lot, and I would stick with him. But yeah, I think right now it's those four picks in the top 35. They one of those at least has to really pay off for them. So I think the future looks really good, but I think right now they're probably like a 500 team at best.
Ralph, you've been on fire tonight. You kind of just went straight up nuclear and napalmed the show in the first hour when you came on and told people to shut their mouths about Gruden and Mike Mayock. So how do you feel in terms of win-loss difference that Antonio Brown makes?
They could get to 10 wins. I mean, I guess that's possible, but that includes, you know, beating Chicago in Oakland, which is going to be tough, or winning at Minnesota, which will be tough. I mean, the other games, you know, at Indy, at Houston, at Green Bay, though there's nothing that's really saying, yeah, they're going to go and win those games. Yeah, they're going to go win at the Jets. I mean, sure. And they should sweep Denver, sure. But do I think that this says that they're going to beat the Chargers or the Chiefs? No. I mean, it's a nice move, but as people have pointed out, without a running game, then you're going to have double coverage on a great receiver with a mid-range quarterback. I mean, that's where they are right now, but they have a lot of talent that can come in through this draft. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, again, it's a great deal for the Raiders. Whether or not they'll be able to translate it that into wins, we're just going to have to wait and see.
I mean, they committed a lot of money, but the draft picks that they had to give up is kind of stunning. I led off the first hour of this show reading an article from 2018 from Chris Wessling at NFL.com, and it was about Martavis Bryant being traded for a third-round pick. Martavis Bryant's a good football player, a lot of trouble there, we know this. Antonio Brown, they got for a third and a fifth. They got Martavis Bryant for a third a year later. It is amazing that they were actually able to pull this off. Sam, what do you think in terms of just how much better this makes the Raiders from a win-loss perspective? I laid out there in that last segment that there are just so many good receivers now in this division. And the problem for the Raiders is Chiefs are the favorites for the Super Bowl, and the Chargers just came off a great year. So if you're third in the West without Antonio Brown, are you still third in the West with Antonio Brown?
Well, we see, you know, records change and who wins the division with what record. So all that is sort of in flux. It's more fluid right now. I echo Bursch. I do see them as sort of an 8-8 squad. It will be interesting to see, because I remember someone brought this up. I can't remember where I saw it, but John Gruden, when he was with either the Bucks and the Raiders originally back in the day, when all of his draft picks, like all of his first rounds, there was no Pro Bowlers in there. He never drafted a Pro Bowler. Has anybody ever heard of this? This is something. So it'd be interesting to see how his picks in his current Raider tenure, how they play out in terms of success. But I do see them improving in terms of wins, probably about 8-8. But this is a part of Gruden's overall like rebuilding plan. I mean, we can't expect them just skyrocket to the top of the division in year two, even with the addition of Antonio Brown.
One thing to keep in mind on that, Sam, is the Buccaneers had no draft picks because they traded all the draft picks for John Gruden.
Well, okay, when he had first round picks, none of them panned out.
No,
was like
it's
the big underlying message.
That's the interesting thing is he's in a situation he was never in Tampa where he actually has picks that he can make. And that's going to be the interesting part to see. We don't know. Nobody knows.
Yeah, we don't know. That's a really good point, Ralph. And Mike Mayock's never really done this before. We've seen him on TV, and he hasn't always been right about that. He picked Blaine Gabbert and said Cam Newton probably wasn't going to work out. Now, you can go pick any draft expert and find bad picks that they made, but this deal on paper, if you don't believe that it's a chemistry problem, if you don't believe he's going to be a malcontent that's going to destroy the locker room, on paper, you just got a first ballot Hall of Fame receiver, one of the best that's ever done it, who still has some good years in him. Maybe he's not in his prime at 30, but he's not exactly falling off. He just had another great year with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So this seems like it's worth the risk for the Oakland Raiders, considering all of the just mess that was that franchise. They were a living joke. They were a walking punchline almost all of last season. There were Gruden memes all over Twitter. Everything was negative about this team. Now you go get a guy that's a personality, but he's also a stud on the field. And if he's still a stud on the field and he cares, it's going to be fascinating. It absolutely is. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Your thoughts? I will again lay out why the Raiders have to be on Hard Knocks at some point before the end of the show. I want to talk about Charlie Casserly at some point during this hour as well. But up next, Zion Williamson did not play against North Carolina. I've got a thought as to why that was smart, not for Zion Williamson, but was brilliant for the Duke Blue Devils as they move into the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament. And I will lay that out for you next. Jason Martin here on the Jason Martin Show. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. We'll be right back on Fox Sports Radio. Jason Martin Show rolling right along live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Great news. Quick and easy way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com and see how much you could save. The big news is Antonio Brown is headed to the Oakland Raiders for a third and a fifth round pick. And let's not forget the Raiders got a first round pick for Amari Cooper. That worked out. We haven't talked about anything else, but I want to talk a little bit about Zion Williamson. Reports are saying Zion's going to play in the ACC tournament on Thursday in Duke's first matchup, quarterfinal. So why was it that he didn't play last night? Was it because he wasn't fully ready? Maybe so. But as of last night, as of Friday night, it seemed more than possible he was going to suit up against the Tar Heels. You had a lot of national media personalities saying, yeah, he's probably going to play in Chapel Hill. But why would he play in Chapel Hill? The reason I'm asking that question has nothing to do with his injury. Now, this might sound a little conspiracy theory-ish. I don't trade in that too often. And maybe this has been said before. I have not heard it anywhere. But I want you to think about something. What better built-in excuse do you have if you're Duke for a loss against your talented arch rival North Carolina on the road than this? Zion didn't play. Without him earlier this week, Duke almost lost to lowly Wake Forest, and they are brutally terrible. So let's say he comes back and he plays in this game. They might still lose. The thing about Duke is they don't shoot it well from distance, like at all. They can't shoot. This is not one of those Duke teams that lights it up from distance. And because of that, they are imminently beatable. This is the 2010 Kentucky team. This is not the 2018 Villanova team that just shot everybody out of the gym on their way to the national championship. That Kentucky team had Bledsoe, and it had John Wall, and it had DeMarcus Cousins, and they couldn't shoot. And they ran into West Virginia, and they didn't even make the Final Four because they shot like 30% and less than 30% from three. For Duke to get a number one seed, they're going to have to win the ACC tournament. They're going to have to probably play against top seed of Virginia. The only team, by the way, that's beaten Virginia, they've beaten them twice this year. And Virginia's a team that doesn't shoot it that well. They don't score very much. They play tenacious defense. And that plays to Duke's advantage against them. But back to playing against Carolina, if he comes back and he plays, they might still lose. And I think that's why they're not going to win an NCAA championship, whether Zion's playing or not. I know how good Zion Williamson is. I know people are believing that he's going to be the next face of the NBA. I get that. But there's a good chance that Duke and Carolina are going to meet again next week. Now, that's going to be in the semifinals if it happens, and number two and three seeds in the ACC tournament. Zion will then have had a game under his belt in the quarterfinal round. If reports are right that he's going to play on Thursday night, that'll be either against Syracuse or the winner of the 11-14 matchup between Boston College and Pitt. That game might matter. The one last night didn't. They're still going to have to win the ACC tournament. So Zion not playing, what that's done is it's put an asterisk next to both UNC wins over Duke. It's taken shine off of both of them. Remember, he went down 39 seconds into that game when his shoe exploded. In game three, if we get that matchup again, if Zion plays and Duke wins, what then becomes the storyline? It's this, or this is the argument that you could make. Duke would have beaten them in Cameron Indoor if it weren't for Encyclopedia Brown in the case of the exploding Nike. And it's also, Duke would have won in the Dean Dome if Zion had played. That's something that you can plausibly argue. Now, whether or not you think that's true, people will argue that. They could argue that. bringing Zion back for the game last night in Chapel Hill without a previous matchup to shake off any potential rust made no sense. Duke already gets the benefit of the doubt, unlike any school in college basketball, when it comes to the media and when it comes to selection committees. This is just going to add more fuel to that fire. The fact that Zion Williamson did not play in that game against Carolina means that nobody cares that North Carolina beat Duke, because Duke probably should have lost to Wake Forest had that bunny gone down in the final seconds. And that game was at Cameron. That was a 71-70 win over a terrible Wake Forest team. Awful Wake Forest team. They've been scoring 10 points less, give or take, without Zion on the floor than with him. And let's not forget that Duke has three of the perceived top four picks in the NBA draft on their roster. It is staggering to me that you lose Zion Williamson, number one, but you've still got Cam Reddish, and you've still got Barrett, and those guys are top four picks. Ja Morant of Murray State is the other guy that's there, but those guys, at worst, are top five draft picks. You've still got two top five draft picks on your team, and no one really sees you as that big a threat without Zion Williamson. What does that say about Zion Williamson? But more importantly, it just makes all the sense in the world. And again, I know it sounds like a conspiracy theory, but if you just stop and think, what was the benefit to Zion Williamson playing last night in that game against Carolina that they could have lost anyway? If he had played against Wake, okay, so he's gotten a game under his belt. He probably plays, you know, 18 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. They blow him out. They were like a 25-point favorite in that game, and they won it by one and should have lost. But if you play, he didn't play against Carolina in either of those matchups. If he plays in the ACC tournament and they beat them in the semifinals, nobody's even going to care about those first two games, because they're just going to see them as, well, that was Duke at not full strength. Not remembering that two of those guys on the floor wearing Blue Devils uniforms are going to be not just lottery picks, but top five draft picks in the upcoming NBA draft. There was no benefit whatsoever to playing Zion Williamson against Carolina. Virginia's going to be the number one seed. They'll meet Carolina in the semis. If they beat them, then they'll get a chance to beat Virginia for a third time. And maybe they'll do it. And if they don't, then they can just say, well, Zion's still shaking off the rust. He'll be ready for the NCAA tournament. You saw a lot of flashes of what you wanted to see from him in the ACC tournament. From a narrative perspective, nothing could have been better than not playing Zion Williamson in either matchup, because he went down in the first one. Now he doesn't play in the second one. Every one of those victories, both of them are tainted in the eyes of anybody that wants to look for a reason not to take them seriously. I don't think Carolina is that great, but Duke is not either. And with them not being able to shoot the basketball, this was the safest play in the world. And I don't know if it was intentional. I don't know if they thought this through, but this thing fell right into their lap properly. Zion comes back in the ACC tournament. That makes that must-see TV. Zion probably needs to play in the ACC tournament, at least some people believe, for the NCAA committee to see them as a number one seed. Oh, if Zion's not on the team, well, they're not a number one seed. I'd still say they're a top five team in the country with the two guys that are going to go as high as they are in the NBA draft. But no Zion Williamson. Last night was okay for Zion. I don't think it matters much in the long run if he's going to play in the NCAA tournament, in the ACC tournament, but it was brilliant from a Duke perspective. And if it was a coincidence and they didn't realize it at the time, best possible scenario for them is exactly what happened. They lost 79-70. Who cares? Zion wasn't on the floor for either of those matchups. And that's what anybody that wants to be an apologist for Duke can claim, and it's kind of hard to back off that argument. Let's bring in Ralph Irvin. He's been great tonight. And let's get out to Los Angeles, find out what happened last night in the world of sports with the latest. Here's Ralph.
All right, thank you very much, Jason. And we do start, of course, with Antonio Brown. He's headed to the Oakland Raiders. Pittsburgh, well, they're going to get some compensation. The Raiders' third and fifth round draft picks in the 2019 draft, but they do have a big salary cap hit for the coming season. Brown, well, he's also getting a new three-year deal with the Raiders. It could be worth up to $54 million. 30.125 of that is guaranteed. At least those are the contract details that are being reported by Ian Rappaport on the NBA hardwood. Well, it was not a great night for the purple and gold team in L.A.
Josh Hart misses the three. Marcus Smart grabs the rebound. And the Celtics have started the road trip 3-0. They avenge their loss to LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers, and they win it going away. The final score, Boston 120, L.A. 107.
WBZ 98.5, the Sports Hub, and the Celtics Radio Network with the call as Boston gets their third straight win. The Lakers lose their fifth straight. Milwaukee is the top team in the East. They lead Toronto by three games for that honor. Giannis with 26 points, 13 rebounds as the Bucks beat Charlotte 131-114. Brooklyn, they get their third straight win. They're in seventh place in the East. They beat Atlanta 114-112 and Portland a 127-120 win over the Phoenix Suns. Online car shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. On the college hardwood, you're just talking about it. Number 3, North Carolina, 79-70. They beat number 4, Duke. Not a good day for number 5, Tennessee. They fall at Auburn, 84-80. And number 10, LSU, they clinched the SEC regular season title, beating Vanderbilt 80-59. And yet, the LSU fans booing because their AD happened to suspend their head coach, who was caught on wiretaps saying that he was trying to pay a player. But, you know, whatever. I guess that's the SEC. Back to you, Jason Martin.
Incredible, that LSU story. We'll talk about it here in a second. Thank you, Ralph. We are here in the Fox Sports Radio studios, brought to you by Geico. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Tonight's show also brought to you by Discover. Become a new card member and Discover will match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar at the end of your first year. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. I'm Jason Martin. This is the Jason Martin Show. That makes sense. I'm on Twitter at jmartzone, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Ryan Bershinger, Iowa Sam, Ralph Irvin doing a fantastic job. The trifecta, spinning the dials radio style for me out in Los Angeles. So we mentioned LSU, and this is just insane. SEC titles on the line against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, by the way, here in Nashville, where I do the show from, here in this version of the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Vanderbilt just went 0-for in the SEC. No one's done that since Georgia Tech was there in the mid-50s. And no one has done it in an 18-game season. 0-18 in SEC play for Vanderbilt. So LSU beats up on them yesterday, because of course they do. LSU's a top-10 team. They're pretty good. Probably should have lost to Florida the other day. Florida blew that at the end of regulation and the end of overtime. But anyway, they blew it. So the SEC title is on the line for LSU. All they got to do is win. Tennessee's already lost to Auburn on the road, 84-80. By the way, that is the first win for Auburn over a top five team since 1995 on Senior Day. So they were celebrating as if they won the national championship. I happened to tweet that out. People didn't care for it. Said, I'm the fun police. No, I get it. They're on the scores table and acting like there's no more basketball to play. And usually when that happens, it means you're going out in the first game that you're going to play in a conference tournament. So we'll see how that goes down. Not rooting against them. It was just quite a celebration for a win at home when the spread was won the night before. But LSU beats up on Vanderbilt. Will Wade got suspended because he's on wiretap doing his best Pete Bell impression, paying Ricky Rowe, paying Butch McRae, getting Neon Bordeaux a car he didn't even want, helping Tony pass TV. He's out there using expletives, and he's talking about Devontae Smart, who they ended up not playing in the game against Vanderbilt, which is an easy time to suspend Devontae Smart or not let him out there Javonte Smart. It's easy because you were going to beat Vanderbilt without him anyway. So they win the game, and they're going to win it easy. They win it 80-59. Fans are screaming, F. Oliva and Joe must go. Joe Oliva, the AD at LSU, because he had the temerity to suspend a dirty coach that's on an FBI wiretap? What are we doing here? Why is LSU upset about this? Or why are their fans upset about this? They wanted him to just stick by Will Wade. There's signs out there with free Will Wade and free Javonte Smart. He was suspended indefinitely on Friday. He's on a wiretap discussing a strong bleep offer for a player that's believed to be Javonte Smart. Smart was actually used in it. And so they held him out of the game due to an abundance of caution. Will Wade should never coach again at LSU. Now, it doesn't just stop at LSU. We're hearing about Mark Gottfried at NC State. We're hearing other stories. I'm still trying to figure out how Bill Self is still sort of riding above this, because Kansas is all over this thing. And somehow the Jayhawks, I don't know that they're skating, but there should be more scrutiny placed on them than it seems like there has been thus far, considering how it's harmed the other programs associated with it. I know Kansas is one of basketball's blue bloods, but Kansas is up to their ears in this deal. But for Will Wade, what are LSU fans hoping? Have we gotten to a point where college basketball is so meaningless in the national just sort of thought process that this just isn't a big deal anymore? This is not an issue of should college players be paid. It does not matter whether you believe college basketball players should be paid, just like it doesn't matter whether or not you believe prostitution should be legal, just like it doesn't matter if you think weed should be legal in the NFL. And those are three stories that we have seen recently. The Robert Kraft story, however it gets done, there are people involved in it that did things that were illegal. What Will Wade did was against the rules. And certainly David Irving and his video saying he's retiring from football and making comments about marijuana and all of this stuff. You can believe whatever you want to believe, but you need to understand that until the rules change, you are still responsible for following those rules. I can run a stop sign in an empty neighborhood where no car has ever been seen before, and I've been in this neighborhood a million times. This is the first time I decided to run the stop sign. And for some reason, there's a police officer there, and I can still get that ticket. I might be mad at that ticket because I think that that's bogus and that that application of that rule in that moment is bogus. But it's still a rule. It's still my fault. If I get away with it, okay. But that's the point. Did you get away with it? Will Wade didn't get away with it. He was talking to Christian Dawkins, but he didn't realize he was actually talking to Christian Dawkins, FBI informant. If you think that what Will Wade was trying to do, which is pay high-end recruits, until that rule gets changed, it does not matter if you think that Javonte Smart was good enough to be paid. And this is one other thing that I want you to think about that maybe you haven't yet about this particular part of the story. So LSU probably paid pretty good money to Javonte Smart based on the way that this came across. If it's not Smart, whoever it is that they were going after, the recruits that they were going after, this was not chump change. This was decent money here. How do you feel if you're an LSU player, a starter, or somebody that's, you know, real solid rotation player, and you weren't offered money? Think about that for a second. How do you feel then? How do you feel about yourself? How do you feel about your game? How do you feel about your confidence? Now, I know not everybody's LeBron James. Not everybody is Zion Williamson. And this is a meritocracy when it comes to sports. But that would kind of suck, right? To be on the LSU team and not have gotten money when it seems like they were throwing it around to get various recruits there. But LSU fans, what are you booing? What did Joe Oliva have? Like, I guess he could have ridden this thing out. Because the truth of the matter is, the banners, if there are banners, are going to come down anyway because Will Wade coached this year and Javonte Smart played this year. If the paper trail is that thick and they can tie this thing down and the word offer is not all that's out there, maybe you could have ridden with this guy, but I don't know why you would. Joe Oliva, to me, made the only decision he could. Will Wade shouldn't coach again at LSU. He shouldn't coach anywhere for a while. He's on an FBI wiretap. Should the FBI be involved in this? I don't know. I also don't care. They were. He's on tape. You can't explain away audio. I saw somebody say, well, we don't know the full context. I know the context. I heard the entire conversation, or enough of it. It's not like it was being cherry-picked and I was getting this sentence, ellipsis, a few paragraphs later, this sentence, and it was being pieced together. This is not Mad Libs, folks. He had to go. It's that simple. We got one more break. We'll be right back. This is the Jason Martin Show on Fox Sports Radio. Live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Little Nine Inch Nails brought to you by Discover. We are. Become a new card member and Discover will match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar at the end of your first year. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. I'm Jason Martin. This is the Jason Martin Show. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. You can follow me there. My crew, Ryan Bershinger, Iowa Sam, Ralph Irvin, Trifecta, Spin of the Dollars radio style for me this morning on the debut voyage of the Jason Martin Show. I want to thank again the fourth member of our crew, Antonio Brown, really helping us out coming up with segment topics today. Antonio Brown, in case you're just waking up or walking out of something on the West Coast or maybe on the East Coast, who knows? You do you. Antonio Brown is headed to the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders sending a third and a fifth round pick. Yes, that's it, to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And yes, you're right. They did send Amari Cooper to Dallas and got a first round pick back for him. The Raiders got something right here. And Antonio Brown is headed to Oakland. We'll see whether or not Derek Carr remains, because they kept all of the four picks that they have in the first 35 in the upcoming NFL draft, they meaning the Raiders. So maybe they bundle him and they go after Kyler Murray. I saw Robert Mays of The Ringer tweet that out, said this makes it a lot more likely because they still have all that draft capital. If Gruden loves him, he'll go get him. He will definitely go get him. Speaking of Kyler Murray, Charlie Casserly has decided that people need to remember who Charlie Casserly is. I've got two pieces of audio for you here. The first is what is probably something that you've already heard. This is what Charlie Casserly had to say earlier this week as it related to Kyler Murray's interviews at the Combine.
This was the worst comments I ever got on a high-rated quarterback.
Really?
And I've been doing this a long time. Yes, leadership, not good. Okay, study habits, not good. The board work, below not good. Not good at all in any of those areas, see? And raising major concerns about what this guy's going to do. Now, people will say, well, we're going to compare him to Mahomes. We're going to run an offense like Mahomes. We're going to run an offense like Baker Mayfield. It is possible, but those guys are much different. I mean, those guys, you never question about their ability on the board. You never question their leadership ability, their work habits. They were outstanding in those areas. This guy's not outstanding in those areas. It showed up in the interview.
A lot of people had a lot of things to say about what Charlie Casserly said there. Some defended him. Some went after him. Some called him racist. Some said, yeah, you only say these kinds of things about certain quarterbacks. I've heard this about certain quarterbacks in the past. Charlie Casserly can say whatever he wants. He's been an executive in the league. He's been around the league for a long time, but we haven't heard his name in a while. And now we're all talking about Charlie Casserly. But I would not play that audio because that story is a few days old now, and you've probably already heard it and heard it sort of debated and talked about on various sports shows. I would not have played that audio, I should say, but I have to because of what he has said over the past 24 hours. Listen to the new Charlie Casserly.
He can make all the throws. He can spread the field horizontally and vertically. He's an excellent deep passer. Vision. It's hard to read vision in this offense, but you do see him sit there and have poise in the pocket and be able to see the field. And then running ability. Guy's an excellent runner with the football. I think this guy's got Russell Wilson arm strength and Russell Wilson running ability. I think this guy has got all the potential in the world to be a successful quarterback in the National Football League. Comparing him and Mahomes on the college tape, I put this guy ahead of Mahomes. Why? Better pocket presence than Mahomes. Talk to a college coach that I've known a long time, a very good college coach. He's defended Mahomes. He's defended Murray. He says Murray's better than Mahomes.
I mean, folks, he was talking about the same guy. He was talking about Kyler Murray in the first audio, where he actually referenced Patrick Mahomes and said they are two different guys. You can't compare him to Patrick Mahomes. You hear what he did in the second audio? He says, I like him better than Patrick Mahomes on college tape. He also said that he has all the throws horizontally and vertically.
Are you serious?
Apparently so. That needs to be a drop, that horizontally and vertically, because that's unbelievable. Charlie Casserly, in less than a week span, went from Kyler Murray is an idiot who can't read a whiteboard to Kyler Murray could be better than Patrick Mahomes. Don't ever say that all publicity is good publicity. People that say that have no idea what they're talking about. Even though we're sitting here talking about Charlie Casserly in the final segment of the first edition of the Jason Martin Show on Fox Sports Radio. The reason we're doing so is because he's a moron, or he comes across like one, because of what he said about Kyler Murray less than a week ago, which raised the ire of a lot of folks. And then less than a week later, I mean, that was as gushing a second, that second cut is about as gushing a slice of audio as you will hear someone inside the NFL that's been around that long levy on a player that has not even suited up in the NFL. I mean, I think he was ready to father Kyler Murray's child if he had to in that second audio. It's not hypocrisy. People misjudge hypocrisy. That's not what this is. This is just, is this kowtowing to pressure? Whatever it is, it's a bad look for Charlie Casserly, because that means that what he said earlier in the week, even though it was about certain different things, what he said earlier in the week has no credibility. Or is it what he said a couple days ago or yesterday? Does that not have any credibility? Which one doesn't have credibility? Oh, I know. Charlie Casserly doesn't have credibility, like, period, because of this, because of two slices of audio. Stick to your guns or don't say anything. This has been the Jason Martin Show. We'll see you again next Sunday morning, same bat time.